What a holy privilege it is to be here with you today, Northminster family. The peace of Christ be with you. Will you join your hearts with mine in prayer? Spirit of the living God, fall fresh upon us this day at Northminster Baptist Church. Melt us, mold us, fill us, and use us. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh upon us this day. Amen. Life is relentless. Life is relentless in beautiful, incredible, astonishing ways. And life is relentless in world-bending, heart-breaking, and soul-crushing ways. Always relentless. It just keeps coming. In the best of ways, in the hardest of ways. This morning's gospel lesson from John is a story about the relentlessness of life, which includes the reality of death. Even for Jesus's friends, death hits close to home. It was downstairs in the last classroom on the left, in what's now called the atrium, I believe, that I learned that the shortest verse in all of the scriptures is Jesus wept. The late former associate pastor, Reverend Barbara Oliver, taught me that as we were learning Bible verses and the books of the Bible, and she was forming me and so many others in the foundations of faith, which also turned out to include life and death. Now, our New Revised Standard translation of the Bible doesn't quite translate verse 35 with the same brevity that the King James Version did or does with Jesus wept. But nonetheless, it's a moment in which we see Jesus' full humanity, his sorrow, his grief over the death of his friend. We get a close-up moment of his heart breaking and aching in the face of real human loss. His tears bear witness to the power of death in this world. The gospel writer tells us that Jesus is deeply moved by the encounter with Mary and those weeping with her at the tomb. Now, deeply moved may sound gentle and even empathetic to our ears, but that's a bit misleading. The word that is used there is one that conveys anger, agitation, and it is far from gentle. Jesus visibly struggles with this frustrating emotion that comes over him at the tomb of his friend, and he doesn't hold back. Ellen Davis, who's a brilliant Old Testament professor, writes about this passage. And she says that in Mary and Martha's accusations, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She says that Jesus is pressed to the edge, that Martha is pressing Jesus to be who he says he is, the Lord of life. And in this situation, with Lazarus's dead body lying in a tomb at just the edge of the village, they both know what that means. It means that Jesus has to take on death, the last enemy of the one who has come into the world so that we might have life and have it in abundance. Martha is pushing Jesus into battle with death, she says, and that is why he feels such extreme agitation. He has come to this crisis in his life, the greatest crisis short of the cross. But you know, this isn't the first time that Jesus is moved into action by the persistent faith of women. But that's a whole nother sermon. But Mary and Martha, they do give us permission to push for some sign of God's ultimate triumph over death in the midst of those really hard stretches of life. To name our pain and our sorrow and our own weeping and to say, God, there's more than this, isn't there? There is more than this tomb. Because this is the Jesus who has proclaimed, I am the resurrection and the life. And in doing that, he is transforming these categories of life and death. He relativizes death so that it is no longer ultimate. And he transforms life by offering a more abundant form of it in the here and now. This resurrection of which he speaks is not something that is to come long after now. Not about our future lives or heaven or hell or something later. This resurrection that Jesus is talking about, it claims us right where we are, at the tombs, in the midst of the relentlessness, assuring us that abundant life with God is to be experienced here and now. Not something to be delayed. Just a few chapters later, Jesus will say to the disciples, take courage. I have overcome the world. There's an ancient legend about how Lazarus was called before the Roman Emperor Caligula to recant his faith after this whole experience with Jesus. Caligula demanded that he publicly refute his faith in the Christ who raised him from the dead. Caligula sought to intimidate him with threats, and he said that if he refused, he would be put to death. And Lazarus laughed. And he said, death is dead. That's what a man who's been raised to life can say. It's interesting, isn't it, that the raising of Lazarus is the event which turns the authorities' plot to kill Jesus into high gear. It's just after this that they say, if we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and destroy everything we've got. And then look at where Lazarus ends up after this experience. He ends up, after he's been raised and is unbound, the next scene is back at his house, around the dinner table, with Mary and Martha and Jesus, that same group of friends, having an intimate meal. We imagine him reclining there, eating dinner as they did, enjoying the gift of food and sacred friendship. And then we get that beautiful, intense, jaw-dropping scene of Mary pouring copious amounts of oil on Jesus' feet and drying them with her hair. Life abundant, isn't it? Even while talk of Jesus' death looms. Transforming life and transforming death, this is the work of God in the world always. Even at the tombs. When Lazarus is raised in those last few verses, his hands and his face and feet are all clothed. And Jesus asks the community to participate in his healing. Unbind him and let him go, he instructs them. To complete the process that Jesus began, he's all about life, this Jesus, and he invites the community's partnership in bringing life to people who have been left for dead. Believing abundant life is possible in places that the powers of death seem to have hold. Northminster Baptist Church, you are a community of life. You are people partnering with God at the tombs. In things big and small, day after day, year after year, decade after decade. Unbinding and taking off the grave clothes. You're a community that brings life to the weary and the sick and the heartbroken and the challenged in thousands of ways. One of those ways that you've done that for me at a distance in all the places I've lived since I lived in this place is those little 4x6 caregiving cards. You were prayed for in the weekly meeting of the Northminster caregivers this week. All of those dear, beloved signatures of yours. Ugh. Those little cards, I want you to know, have been a part of God's healing work in my life in more than one hard season. Just knowing that you, beloved people, were gathered here on a Monday morning praying for me and a whole bunch of other people in this world. It mattered. And it does matter. You are a congregation that bears witness to life in the here and now. When 20 plus years ago, some people got some wild ideas from Jesus, and you imagined doing something beyond the walls of the church that would make an impact on this city, called the wider net. And you know all that is different in you and in this city and in mid-city because of those relationships. And that you were willing to risk something big for something good. And the life that has come from that. Not something to come way down the road, but here and now. transforming life and transforming death. I realize that all of these things that I wanted to say to you this morning were things that you actually have taught me in my years here. So Northminster, you are a congregation that unbinds what has been bound for far too long when you nurture and support and call women to ministry. And I might add, we just may be the only Baptist church in many a mile with a worship service led solely by women this morning. But day by day and week by week and year by year and decade by decade, you've been doing this work of partnering with Jesus and the unbinding and the taking off the grave clothes alongside people to help them live more abundantly in the here and the now. And that is transforming life and death alongside Jesus in a whole host of ways. And you all have your own stories about how this has been done for you and how you've accompanied others in their unbinding and being set free. And it's holy work. And so I give thanks to you, good church, for modeling this in a way that you helped me hear God's call to say, oh, that is the thing for me to commit my life to. It's because all of you were doing it all along the way, and you modeled that. So I hope that you hear that who you are and what you do and how you serve God and how you worship and how you welcome people, it matters. It matters for the little people who are downstairs, and it matters for all of us here and online. And it matters in ways that we don't even quite know yet. Because when the grave clothes have been loosed, abundant life will come and take us we know not where. But it will be with God, a God who can transform. Amen.